The Holy Gospel for this morning comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, is, if she loses them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. My dear siblings in Christ, grace and peace are yours this day from our God who creates us, from Jesus who saves us, and from the Holy Spirit who breathes life in and among us. Amen. 187,200. This isn't a number I think about on a daily basis or even weekly or monthly. But in this past week, like you, I am sure in some ways I was keenly aware of this number. As of the most recent estimate this year, 187,200 is the population of Sioux Falls. On a typical day, this number would seem huge and completely abstract to me, maybe not for Mayor Ten Haken, but certainly for me. I pass neighbors on sidewalks and streets, not thinking about them as one of 187,200, not usually thinking about the neighbors I don't ever pass, who are also one of the 187,200. But when the sun rose on Wednesday morning, suddenly 187,200 seemed like a smaller number. And in the scheme of things, the number that really seemed to matter within that 187,200 was one. Though three tornadoes struck our community overnight, thanks be to God, not one life was lost. Not the life of Michelle Alberti, whose husband Judd pulled her from the rubble of their ceiling, and whose family drove her to the hospital where she was operated on for a fractured vertebrae. Not one life. Not the life of a gentleman who went into cardiac arrest at the Avera Heart Hospital, where physicians and staff worked tirelessly to save him while their building and their vehicles were being partially destroyed around them. Not one life. Not the life of any of you, and we thank God for that. We know several of you came eerily close since one of the tornadoes touched down here in our own neighborhood and yours. Some of you lost parts of your homes. For some of you, your neighbors' homes landed in yours. And yet not one life was lost. Not one life of 187,200. And thanks be to God for that. We rejoice in that. And now in the aftermath of the storms, we're hearing stories of our community's strength and compassion, of a renewed sense of neighborliness. Neighbors are helping neighbors clean up debris and trees and fences and insulation that went airborne. Employees of the Helpline and Xcel Energy and Midco are working overtime to restore homes and power and safety at our own house. At just before 5 o'clock on Friday, a kind gentleman from Midco restored a downed cable in our backyard, and we learned it was just the beginning of his weekend of work. As the memories of Tuesday night sit fresh in our minds, that number still seems to matter deeply, 187,200. Not one life lost. Every neighbor mattered on Tuesday night and Wednesday morning and still matters. You see, times of life and death seem to do that, don't they? They remind us that every neighbor matters, every life matters, that even out of 187,200, one life lost would have been one too many. Well, in Luke's gospel today, as we've already heard in a couple of ways, we hear two parables, and with them, two numbers, 100 and 10. 100 sheep and 10 coins. And in each story, every last one matters, every sheep and every coin. And as with all parables, Jesus tells these two little ditties to shake things up. For Jesus, parables aren't just pithy little stories with a clear moral at the end. The Greek word parable means to throw alongside. Para meaning alongside, bole meaning to throw. And Jesus seems to rhetorically throw with some force. As he does in many other cases throughout the Gospels, Jesus takes a real-life metaphor and then throws a curveball beside it. And in this case, it's two questions, not two stories. Two questions, including two numbers, 100 and 10. First up, Jesus asks, all right, if you had 100 sheep and one of them was lost, who among you would not leave behind the 99 sheep to go find the one who was lost? And not only leave the 99 behind, but would scoop up that one lost sheep, throw it around your shoulders, and rejoice in finding it. Well, for most of us, we're not quite as generous as our kids are, as you are. And we would say, not me, Jesus. No one would do that. I mean, I'm no shepherd, but I can do the math. If I've got 99 sheep who are following the rules, obeying my orders and falling in line, and I've got one rogue sheep who refuses to behave, I'm going to stick with those 99 and say good riddance to the one. It's simple math. Even I know that 99 out of 100 is better than 1 out of 100, especially if those 99 are better behaved. But not for this shepherd. This shepherd rejoices that the one is found, the one out of 100. Jesus takes a real-life metaphor and throws a curveball beside it. And next, Jesus asks, okay, so imagine a woman who's lost 10 coins and loses one. What woman wouldn't drop everything and scour her entire house for a whole day so until she has found that one lost coin? And then when she finds it, which woman wouldn't throw a party with her friends to celebrate that she found that one coin? And again, the implied answer is no one would do that. And as Francis helped us realize, no one would spend more than they had lost on a party. Again, let's do the math. A woman still has 90% of her original coins. What's 10%? What's 1 out of 10? I mean, I'm no banker this time around, but it seems having 90% of your original investment is better than 10%. Is it really worth losing a whole day of work and wages to find the 1 in 10? Well, it seems the answer is yes for the woman in Jesus' story. The 1 in 10 is worth everything. It's worth a whole day. It's worth more potential loss. Jesus is throwing another curveball. I think if you had asked me a week ago what Jesus was after with these stories, I would have said he's throwing a curveball at our economics of people. That Jesus is saying, I don't care how many people are in the mix. I care about every last one. Every single person matters. If there are 10, if there are 100, if there are 187,200, Jesus loves each one and he seeks out each one, just like the shepherd and his missing sheep and the woman and her missing coin. A week ago, I think I would have ended there to say these stories are about the economics of grace. But thanks be to God, Jesus doesn't do math like I do. Jesus is the one seeking out the lost and not me. Which a week later is all still very true. I think these are parables about the economics of grace. But in light of the week our community has had, Jesus to me, is throwing different curveballs at these stories. And that's the beauty of parables, of the Word of God, that the stories are living and breathing and speak to us in new ways and new times and places. Because when I woke up on Wednesday morning, it didn't take much convincing for me to know that, of course, one in 187,200 matters just as much as one in 100 or one in 10. The economics of grace made total sense. No curveball necessary. One life lost would have been one too many, even within a total population of nearly 200,000. Times of life and death do that. They remind us that every neighbor matters. But in returning to these stories, the curveballs for me are which circumstances for Jesus seem to constitute times of life and death, and who it is who's rescued in those times of life and death. Because in these parables, we're not talking about tornadoes. We're not talking tumultuous windstorms at sea. We're not talking violence or war. We're talking about an everyday journey with a bunch of sheep, and we're talking about a day of house cleaning. And what is so life and death about these moments? In these parables, we're not talking about rescuing people who are buried under rubble or stranded on water. We're not talking about saving the heroes, the upstanding citizens, and the philanthropists. We're talking about a misbehaving sheep and a useless coin. Out of the 100 and out of the 10, these are the ones that matter, the things that have no hope of redemption. Because one is a wayward animal best known for its sheer stupidity, and the other is an inanimate object that cannot do anything to make itself be found. These things can do nothing for themselves. They cause more problems than they're worth. They're the problem kid and the worthless token. The things that never pull their own weight, and in fact, the things that create more burden for those around them. And yet, in the economics of grace, they are the ones that matter. And when they are lost, finding them constitutes a matter of life and death and brings about a party. We're now in our second week of a 7-week fall worship series we're calling The Way of Joy. Each week we're connecting a particular scriptural, spiritual practice to the biblical text. This week is the practice of welcome. Here at Spirit of Joy, as you can see here on our right, one of our 5 core values is radical hospitality. And that value is grounded in this key message. Say it with me. All people matter to God, and so they matter to us. During our discovery class for new ministry partners, we reiterate this statement and we ground it in this very chapter from Luke's Gospel, from Luke 15. All people matter to God, and so they matter to us. Whether they're one of 10, one of 100, or one of 187,200. Whether they're leaders or followers, whether they're thriving or barely getting by, whether they're featured in the Argus Leader as heroes or as troublemakers, no matter their story or their giving potential, no matter how far they've strayed from the shepherd, no matter how much they've tried to stay hidden from the woman desperately searching for them. All people matter to God, and so they matter to us in times of life and of death, which is exactly the times we're about around here. Yes, surely in times of physical birth and death, but also because we believe that what we are about here at Spirit of Joy is a matter of life and death. Faith is a matter of life and death. Belonging is a matter of life and death. Welcoming one another is a matter of life and death. This is the work our God is about, and so it is the work we are about too. All people matter to God, and so they matter to us, period. And so, my dear siblings in Christ, whether today you are one of the 99 sheep or the one, whether you're doing your best to follow the teaching and the leading of the Good Shepherd, or if you are so lost you can't seem to find your way back, you are welcome here. You matter to God, and so you matter to us. Whether you're one of the 9 coins or the one, whether you're staying right where you're told to stay adding value and purpose to your home and community. Or if you're lost and dry and collecting dust, you are welcome here. You matter to God, and so you matter to us. Whether you've been caught under the rubble of the storm or the rubble of addiction or fear or anxiety, you matter to God, and so you matter to us. Our God finds you today under the rubble, and our God rejoices in the rescue. You who are lost have been found. There is joy in heaven, and there is joy here that you are found. And now let us continue the divine work of finding our neighbors under the rubble and rejoicing when they too are found. Thanks be to God. Amen.